right, 807 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Thursday. Glad to have you along. Phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. Segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey Bennett and his crew working in Mobile and Baldwin counties, commercial properties, residential properties, stuff in the attic. You know, where you have the very sketchy ladder that pulls down from the attic with the springs on it there. They will go up there and get the junk. You don't even have to do that. Or if you have a storage unit that you haven't seen the inside of in decades, but you're still paying for, probably says you can get rid of that stuff too. It's junk. Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They're going to set a specific appointment time with you, and that's when they show up. Not a spectrum of time. If they say, hey, we're going to be there this afternoon at 4:30, well, they're there at 4:30. And the price they quote you, that's the price you pay, whether the job turns out to be bigger than they thought it was or not. Online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or just pick up the phone and call them at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, great to have Will Ainsworth, Representative Will Ainsworth, running for Lieutenant Governor of the state of Alabama, in the studio. Last time you and I talked on phone, but thanks for stopping in.
Hey, great to be here. Always good to be in South Alabama.
Yeah, well, this is the opposite end of the state for you. Marshall County guy, right?
That's right, yeah. Born in Boaz. Actually born in Birmingham. Moved to Boaz when I was one, which kind of used to be known for the shopping outlets.
The outlets, y'all.
My
wife used to say, oh, Boaz, they got the outlets, honey.
Yeah, outlets kind of thing of the past up there now. And then now I live in Gunnersville, which, you know, we tell everybody second prettiest place in the state outside of the coast.
That's so. Well, you know, you got that Tennessee River coast up there. I'm a big fan of that area. I've got family from New Hope, or as people call it up there, No Hope.
Yeah.
Yes, so that part of the state. And let's talk about your career so far in Alabama, in Montgomery. You've been a representative representing that area. What the district is?
District 27.
27.
Got elected in 2014.
Okay.
So finishing up my first term.
So you're there, and what then prompts you as your representative, seeing everything that's, what a time to come in there.
Yeah.
Well, 2014?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you're like, what happened? I mean, everything had been working so good. And then 2014, you know, we've had some goings on in Montgomery.
Yeah, disappointed it really just in the lack of. So you brought that up, 2014, come in 15.
Yeah.
Governor Bentley wants to increase $800 million in taxes.
Right.
And, you know, all of us Republicans ran on no new taxes, smaller government.
And you're looking at the chief executive here, the top Republican in the state, telling you something quite contrary.
Right. Even his billboards had no new taxes that he ran on. And so, you know, I actually stood up to him and fought against the taxes. And, you know, since I've been in the legislature, I've killed over $1 billion or helped kill over $1 billion in taxes. That would have impacted people in Alabama. So just seeing the lack of leadership, the lack of morals, I mean, that was extremely disappointing. I mean, on Republican and Democrat side.
Right.
And just, you know, I think it was time for new people to stand up. And I think looking to the same names to solve problems that have plagued us for decades, that's why our motto, it's a new day for Alabama.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not a career politician. I'm from the private sector and built businesses, served in youth ministry. And I really think it's time for some new people to step up that are willing to serve, that don't want to make a career out of it. And that's really a big difference between myself and my opponent.
So you say not make a career out of it. Will you say right now that you would term limit yourself if there's not a law there?
Absolutely. I introduced term limits and a strong supporter of that. Introduced term limits legislation as well as recall legislation. And the reason I introduced recall legislation...
Yeah, we saw why that's needed, but...
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. I just got tired of people running on one thing and then getting to Montgomery acting a totally different way. I mean, tired of the hypocrisy. And so that's really what I guess drove me to run for Lieutenant Governor.
Because I'm wondering, I mean, you're there, you know, you're as a representative representing the people back home in your district. Now you're moving to a attempt to get a job for a statewide position.
That's right.
Lieutenant Governor. So obviously you feel like you can do more for the people in your district now as a lieutenant governor than you can as a representative.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's about the whole state, right? And I want to improve the whole state. I mean, y'all have got tremendous area here on the coast, not only with tourism, but just with the port, what your mayor's doing here, Mobile. I mean, Mayor Stimson is doing a tremendous job, and it's exciting to me.
Yeah.
And I want to be a part of that. And I think the fact I'm from the business community, grew up in the corporate world, and built businesses, I can be an asset to our state, helping recruit industry, and then also helping existing industry expand by looking at policies on that.
Yeah, I want to, okay, and if you're just joining us, talking to Representative Will Ainsworth, running for Lieutenant Governor, give us a primer on, and I'm not, this is not a get here either, but on what the Lieutenant Governor's job is. Because there's a lot of us, I mean, maybe we learned that back in when we had our No Alabama textbook when we were kids, but maybe we forgot it by now.
Sure, absolutely. Lieutenant Governor, to me, is kind of what you make of it. You know, duties as far as what the Lieutenant Governor does, presides over the Senate, just like the Speaker of the House presides over the House. And so you're going to manage, you know, the day-to-day operations when they're in session. Mm-hmm. You also, probably one of the most important things, it's got over 400 different appointments.
That's a big deal.
It is. And then, you know, I think obviously as we've seen in the past, you better make sure you're ready to serve as governor.
Well, there you go.
Day one. And, you know, so I think, you know, the fact that I've been a CEO and built businesses, you know, I'd be ready day one to serve if needed. So, yeah,
and that's one thing I've got to ask you, because sitting back here in Southwest Alabama and watching you and your competitor here and the amount of money that's been spent in this race, and I go, wow, this is what used to be spent on a gubernatorial election.
Right.
Or actually, not even. And I said, you know, I wonder, is this about the job of lieutenant governor, or is this about being ready if we do go through a situation like we went through with former Governor Bentley?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess you can just ask the voters that. I mean, for me, certainly it was just to run for lieutenant governor. Then I want to work with Governor Ivey to improve our state. You know, I'm certainly not running for governor as lieutenant governor. I'm running for lieutenant governor and want to use that position. But I think one of the unique things I've got relationships in the House.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at David Sessions and also Jack Williams from here, they mm-hmm. both endorsed our campaign. And part of the reason why is when I had an opportunity in the House, you know, I supported the coast.
What a sore place that is with a lot of us down here.
Sure. Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
We look at, and I know perspectives are different, and I am a homer on this. I'm from here. This is but we watch the BP money.
Right.
And we watch the deliberations, and I remember we were just talking off the air, Senator Pittman and I talking even off air, and he's saying, you know, because I was Pollyanna, I thought, well, of course the lion's share of that's coming back here. Here's where the sales tax was missed. I mean, by admission of the state not getting the sales tax, that means the municipalities and the counties didn't get it either, and that's down here. And then him saying, it doesn't look like we might get nothing. I said, really? That's shocking to people back home. It was on our front doorstep. This is where we dealt with it here.
Absolutely. And I mean, so, and that's one of the reasons I think both of those guys supported our campaign. They know I stood up in caucus. And, you know, and what I said is this, and I said this, I said, that money belongs to the coast, because if a tornado hits Marshall County, we deserve that money, but that actually hit the coast.
Yep.
Now, what happened was a lot of the money went to pay off debt, a lot of money went to Medicaid, which I really wasn't for.
And obviously, you're way more inside of this being a representative than I am, but from the outside looking in, the state of Alabama, the budgeting process for the last, well, I'll say 4 years, has been, we found the extra $20 bill in our jacket pocket. You know, it's just at the last thing, like there's no solution, and oh, wait, here's some federal money, here's some BP money, oh, we can do it this year. That is not effective governing. That is just getting lucky.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And here's the problem. We're going to go into 2019. You know, when we go in the new...
Yeah, where's the money coming from this time?
We're going to have a hole, about $180 to $200 million in the general fund.
I keep looking at my pockets.
Same problem we rolled in, you know, came in 2015, and it's going to be, you know, people of Alabama need to wake up and realize you better have some conservatives in there or they're going to raise your taxes, because it's coming. Because we basically, the legislature robbed money from the coast to not... Because we didn't solve the problem. You know, we didn't solve the problem with prisons. We didn't solve the problem with Medicaid.
Right.
And so
we just got lucky a couple times with unexpected. You know, our great aunt so and so passed away and sent a. You know, you can't make your house note, but great aunt so and so passes away, and you get a check shows up in the mail for a couple $1,000s. You make your house note. You don't solve the problem that puts you in a hole in the first place in your budget.
Yep, you're exactly right. And I mean, that's the thing that, you know, that's why, to me, I thought the money should have gone to the coast. It was y'all's money. It impacted down here. And when you look, I mean, that's what, you know, not only did I vote, you know, that way, but also, you know, I stood up in caucus and supported the Mobile and Baldwin County delegation.
I'll put it this way. You're one of the few.
Yeah.
A few from up in that neck of the woods. Coming right back, Representative Will Ainsworth running for Lieutenant Governor of the state of Alabama with us right here on Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings Thursday style. Glad you're here. Good to have Representative Will Ainsworth running for Lieutenant Governor in the studio. And those of you who want to check out the Facebook feed, it is live. And we're talking even during the news breaks there as well. Right. Want to ask a couple questions from the text line here, and then talk about these allegations that have come out in ads against you. I want to kind of go down through the list on this. First of all, this from Ben and Daphne. Your views on a state lottery, legalization, vote, what are your stances?
Yeah, I personally don't think it's going to necessarily solve any of our problems. I mean, my position before, if you know, I'm not necessarily opposed to letting the people vote on it, but it's not something that I think is going to solve any of our problems. It's a declining revenue stream, but you know, I'm not going to stand in the way of
it. Right, a referendum, you would not block it going to a vote.
That's right.
Okay. Okay, here's one from the coastal angle here. Would you, after talking about the coast, would you commit to having at least one staff member, if you're lieutenant governor, from the coast, if elected? Would you have somebody from down here?
Yeah, I'm certainly not opposed to that. It's, you know, you don't have a huge staff as lieutenant governor. So, I mean, I think you're looking at, you know, 2, 3, 4 staff is it. But certainly would be open to, you know, getting whoever's best qualified. And if that was from the coast, that'd make a lot of sense.
All right. This one, this is a big subject down here as you talk about money. Your stance on the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project.
Yeah, I'm for it. I think, obviously, just with the traffic jam and just the backup there, Mobile, you know, we've got to get the funding for that, whether it's through a public-private partnership or whether it's through the state. And, you know, my commitment to the people in this area is I'll do everything in my power to help see that through.
All right, got some other questions coming in here. Let's see.
Yeah, we have one question on the Facebook Live feed here. Freddie asks about your opponent here. What tax increase did Twinkle Cavanaugh vote for that has been mentioned before? He says she was the PSC commissioner, but he's asking what tax increase did she vote for?
Sure, yeah, great question. So when she worked for Governor Riley and, you know, Amendment 1 came up, you know, she went out and spoke publicly and supported Amendment 1, which was $1 billion tax increase.
Okay.
All right. That's, and talking about some of the other, what's been back and forth as we are at crunch time here before Tuesday's vote and the ads, I mean, and the people complain to me a lot on air on this text line about the mudslinging, how rough it is out there. Because, you know, if you listen to just the ads and don't get to meet people, by the end of it, I think all of y'all don't need a job. The whole lot of you, if you hear, you know, if you believed everything you heard in ads, the whole bunch of you. So, I mean, one of them, this recent one about you being arrested, and it shows, you know, it shows an arrest ticket and all that kind of stuff. What is this all about? Did you get arrested?
Yes, I did. It was a college prank. So, Twinkle's accusations that I stole
$15,000. $15,000, right.
Right, and it makes, and it used my picture now, which is bald will, which I don't have any hair.
Right.
At the time in college, you know, when I was 19, I had hair then.
Yep.
And so, the accusations, I stole $15,000. Reality is, it was a college prank. We took some tiger statues and kidnapped them and hit them. And, you know, they found out what we did. We had to turn ourselves in. They wanted us to learn a lesson, so we had to get arrested. We had to do community service, but the charges were dropped. You know, and she makes it sound like, oh, he got arrested.
You use family influence to have those charges dropped.
Not at all. There was 6 of us. We just did it as a prank, and they realized that. You know, and we went in and we turned ourselves in.
Right.
You know, when
it was $15,000 was the value of the porcelain tigers that y'all
donated
kidnapped,
money.
Tiger
there
napped.
Was, you know, 4 or 5 of them. I forget exactly how many there were, and so people would donate them as a donation to the university.
Yes.
And so the dollar amount came from the donation. And so it
was,
but
may or may not be plussed up when people.
But I've never stolen a dollar in my life. I mean, it's. But no, I did. I am guilty of doing a prank.
Yeah.
And then the other attack that I think is the most dishonest attack, and maybe in Alabama history, is I got a ticket for driving someone else's boat that didn't have the proper registration. And just,
is that the other ticket that comes flashing across the screen?
Right. Now, she calls it an arrest.
Yes.
All right. But it was just a ticket. I never got arrested.
So you're driving somebody else's boat. You didn't have the current, like, you know, us Alabama folks, you know, whatever month you are, you get your sticker for year. So it didn't have a current.
That's right. And they ended up having it. It just wasn't on the boat. And so I went in. It was a $10 ticket.
A $10 ticket.
That's correct.
Okay.
And so it was, that's all that was. And
see, this is why y'all, you know, always got to ask the extra questions.
Yeah, and so, but if you look to her, listen to her ad, you know, you would think I'm Al Capone.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we're pushing back on this. You're going to see some ads out, but I just want to make sure everybody knows. It was a college prank, first one. Stupid.
Yes.
I was 19. Wish I wouldn't have done it, but it was tiger statues. The second one involved a ticket, which is just absurd. I mean, so, at least to me it is, so.
Another one of the things that your opponent has brought up, she says you're pretty critical of President Trump during his campaign.
Yeah.
I think con artist is the word used in some of the advertisements. Would you like to respond to that?
I would. Yeah, thank you. I never said that. So I was Marco Rubio's chair, and where they're getting that from, Marco Rubio sent out a press release that I don't remember ever approving, okay? I mean, you know, campaigns are fast and all that, and they probably didn't check with me before they sent out a press release, but they sent out a press release, had my name on there, but I never said it. There's no video. There's no record. I mean, I'm just telling you, I never said it, but Marco Rubio said it,
right,
but not me. And so I guess she's tying that with a press release that was sent out and me being his chairman, but I never said it. I mean, there's actually a good article that was on Yellowhammer News of 10 reasons why conservatives need to vote for President Trump that I listed. I think President Trump's doing a tremendous job, and I'm a big supporter of his.
Well, you know, you bring up something. You talk about Marco Rubio's campaign, and I think what's unfair is people in the state just have forgotten the past. And, you know, there were lots of people running in the primary. And, I mean, if you're here to tell me that Ted Cruz was not a real conservative, then I have trouble with that. Now, people may not like him, and they may think that it's the same old game in Washington. But if you're saying somebody who supported Cruz wasn't supporting a conservative back then, I got trouble with that. I mean, right. So there were a lot of different candidates in the primary that a lot of people supported. I think what's key is what happened after the primary and who coalesced behind the Republican candidate. But I mean, if you're going to break down everybody in the state, it's impossible to me to hear all the political ads that are running right now believe every person who's running for office right now day one was supporting Donald J. Trump. I just don't buy it.
Right. Well, I mean, 60% of the people in the state didn't vote for him on the primary election. And so, I mean, what I want everybody to realize is that, you know, there's a pattern here. And if she's going to be dishonest and she's going to lie about my record, you know, what's she going to do when she's in office? And that's what I want the people on the coast to realize. You know, I've helped the coast when it didn't necessarily help my area.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was 16 votes, 13 of the 16. I voted with the Mobile and Baldwin County delegation. The other three, they told me, Will, we got 30-plus votes. Don't vote with us. I mean, that's what happened there. And then she's even trying to spin that. But I just want to make sure the people on the coast know, you know, I'm doing this to improve our state. I don't want to be a career politician, and I need your help next Tuesday.
All right. People want more information once again online. Where do they go?
Yeah, it's Ainsworth for Alabama. We've got a Facebook and Twitter page. And, you know, we're excited just to trying to improve our state. That's what this is all about. I believe in service.
Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for letting me come on.
All right. Coming back, more of Mobile Mornings right here at FM Talk 106.5. We'll run the news break. Rob Holbert from Lanyap will join us. I am out of here. I got to step on out because I got to drive down to the wharf and go get it on that Galati Yacht Sales 92-foot Viking. So, I mean, I'm Crimea River.
Big boat.
So get on the old sport fishing yacht here for Midday Mobile. Yeah, y'all keep your fingers crossed because I'm going to have to be wiring everything up there. But hopefully we'll be doing the show as we get out on the Pace yacht starting at noon today for Midday Mobile. Give you more details coming up, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow morning.
Hey, thank you, Kane. 836 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive, talk to the sales manager, Brian Gardner. Hey, Brian.
Hey, good morning.
So tell us what's happening at McConnell Automotive today.
Man, so many good things. We talked about it the last couple of days. Percent play is definitely back, and we're when that happens, because it's easy to do the math on that. You just take the percent I tell you and take it off MSRP, and that's what you're going to save. We've got 18% right now, Buick Encore. Great deal there. Gets you Encore for about $20,000. That's some fantastic savings. Also have 12% off Buick Enclave right now. GMC Land, you ask? Well, we've got 15% off GMC Sierra right now. Also 15% off Terrain SLE trim. And don't worry, if you're a Yukon customer, we're not leaving you out. We're going to save you close to 10%. On GMC Yukon right now. Inventory levels are really good. Percent play is back. We're excited about it. Come by and check out our selection. Also, shop us at McConnellAutomotive.com. Get by and see us as quick as you can, because this deal will end at the end of the month.
All right. We appreciate it, Brian.
See you, Dolphin.
That's Brian Gardner. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. All right, it is a Thursday, and this is Mobile Mornings, and that can only mean one thing. It means there's a new Lanyap out on the streets, and it means we get to talk to the man from Lanyap, Rob Holbert. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Happy Thursday.
Good morning, Kelly. I got to get to talk to Kelly yesterday, as a matter of fact. I was just going to say, you know, I saw Kelly driving by in that fancy new car.
Ooh.
And coordinated her dress with the car. Too.
Really?
Like, no
yeah,
one
red
does
and
that.
Red. It was quite. It looked like some kind of a pamphlet for the car. You know, like a flyer. It was just like they're getting their money's worth out of this.
Oh,
advertising, I'm telling you.
It's a beautiful vehicle. Yeah. We'll talk more about that after
it's
our interview
nice
with
car.
You.
I like that
yeah.
car.
Yeah, I had to drive away pretty quickly because you tried to hop in, and I said, no, sir.
It's okay, Kelly. You can let Rob around the car. It's fine.
Not a carjacking, I promise.
But the new Lanyap out on the streets, and looking at the cover here, the cover story, Perp Walks. Rob, tell us a little bit about what Jason Johnson was talking about this week.
Well, that's an interesting story. We've noticed over the last several months there's a lot of messages saying, hey, we've got a perp walk this afternoon. For those mm-hmm. who aren't familiar with the term perp walk, it's basically when the police call and say, hey, we have this guy who is a suspect in a crime we've arrested, and you've got about 20 minutes to get out here. We're going to walk him from the car into the police station and then TV stations, and everybody, all the reporters can gather around and ask him a bunch of stupid questions. And you know, we can all get out there and ask him if he did it and why'd you do it and that kind of stuff. And it's one of those things that's really sort of it's not really being done almost anywhere else. But Mobile, we do a lot, and it's been really picking up steam. And it was an interesting story just to look at it and say, how many of these are we doing? We're doing them more and more and more. And you know, it really is, even as there's a perception of crime, as it, you know, the police department says, look, we do these because so we want people to know that we're doing something, that we're arresting people. And, you know, they admit, hey, we'll do them for, you know, when a TV station sometimes calls and says, hey, we'd like to have one, you know, they'll do them for them sometimes. So they are very much sort of orchestrated events, but it's a really, you get into the whole issue of whether somebody who has been arrested mm-hmm. and the presumption of innocence until being proven guilty. You know, sometimes people say things at these perp walks that they maybe, obviously for their own benefit, shouldn't say, and it just gets into a strange area.
I think I will add that sometimes it's surprising what people will say during that walk, because I don't know if they're not clear as to the fact that could be used against them.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
But wow, and kudos to the great reporters who ask those questions that get responses.
Yeah, I mean, they are, but, you know, sometimes, Kelly, as Jason points out, you know, some of those questions are, you know, things like, why did you shoot him?
Yeah.
Are you aware
a little
you
presumptive.
Him?
Well, and
you
that's
know,
why I said...
Are you aware you killed him? Those type of things.
That's why I said the great questions.
And he lines out some of those questions. He doesn't name the reporters, but he says, look, these are some of the questions being asked.
Right.
Which you wouldn't ask those things in, you know, in journalism, you typically also have to be objective, and we have to
right.
act as if... You know, the presumption of innocence as well, and you would ask the questions in a different way.
And it does seem like my phone goes off at least a couple times a week or every other week with one of these perp walks. But looking at some of the stats in the story, it seems like, of course, we've seen a couple from the sheriff's office, but most of these are done from the MPD.
Yeah, they're mostly MPD, and, you know, they've already done, I think, 27 this year. You know, the average is something along the lines of over 3.5 a month now. Mm-hmm. And it kind of comes and goes, and of course, you know, there is also the point that when, you know, when there are several murders and they catch several, you know, alleged murderers, then this you see more perp walks, and so that there's that understanding that the cops are showing, hey, look, we caught these people, we caught somebody that we think did this, and so you know, there's certainly something to be said on both sides, but I think when you look at also the fact that all of our TV stations, I think, have switched to a very much crime-first coverage, and I think that's—I don't think that's really just supposition on my part. I mean, they've said that, and I think that is part of what goes on. But and as that happens, there's more and more opportunity to have perp walks get on TV.
And I will go back to what I originally said, which is kudos to the reporters who asked the great questions.
Yeah.
I emphasize that.
Because
you have to be.
Plenty of them. I mean,
you have to be neutral. You have to, you know, you can't lock someone up yourself
right.
with your questioning. You have to give them.
Right.
If you put the microphone there, allow them to say what they need to say. I just wanted to clarify that.
And some of them say some strange things, like you said. You know, I mean, there was one a couple months ago where the guy, you know, he admitted during a perp walk that he killed a child. You know,
mm-hmm.
and so, you know, how do those things play out in court? And, you know, I understand that that's, you know, where people are certainly like, well, hey, this guy admitted he killed him. Who cares? But we do, you know, if you think about it from the standpoint of if you were arrested and you were dragged out in front of the media and asked a lot of questions before you were even arraigned or anything else like that, it's kind of a, there's a double-edged sword to the whole thing.
Also this week in your weekly editorial, Damn the Torpedoes, Rob, talking a little bit about these upcoming primary elections and how the mudslinging, if it hadn't begun already, it's official now.
Man, it is. It's on. One of the things that's just been really shocking to me, I guess, is these judge races. And, you know, the mudslinging on the judge races is, you know, if you can hear it and see it in their ads, but really a lot of it behind the scenes has been really tremendous. And a lot of the stories that are being pushed, and people want stories and you know, dumping information on each other that is just kind of amazing and, you know, and unfounded, things you can't prove, and it's just, you know, that people want to be told about this person or that person in order to try to win an election. But, you know, it goes back to the whole thing with me. We had three open judge seats in this county, one of which only one person ran for, and so that person automatically is becoming a judge without even being contested race. And then you have two other races that were heavily contested. And then you have all the other judges who just got back into office without anybody running against them, all the incumbents. And, you know, it's like, man, if this is really, if they're willing to fight this hard over these open seats, why are they, you know, why won't anybody take on the incumbent judges? That just blows my mind.
Yeah, it's a great question. You also talk about the Ladd Peebles Stadium conundrum, South Alabama wanting to build that new stadium on campus and asking the city and county, to both pitch in $10 million. Of course, now that vote for the city council has been pushed back till July 31st. But if you had to look into your crystal ball, Rob, what do you think, what do you see happening here?
That's a tough one. You know, I think that it seems like that the city and county want to help USA, and USA has said they can't build this stadium without that money. But I think there also is a big sentiment for keeping Ladd, and so if you keep Ladd and give the money, you've lost the reason for giving the money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the reason for giving the money, the fiscal responsibility, the fiscal reason for giving the money, as the city has said, is, you know, to get rid of these payments that we have to make to keep Ladd up and to make improvements. So if you keep those and then you get taxpayer money, you're just giving taxpayer money. That becomes a real issue. So I don't know how you do those things, how you kind of make those ends meet if you can't get the deal done in whole. You know, and then there's the whole question still, I think it bothers a lot of people that South Foundation won't give any money to this, and I understand that they claim money is earmarked, mm-hmm. that kind of thing, but I mean, the reality of it is I think they had about $57,000 donated last year, and they had $10 million in investment money come in. So, you know, they have investments. I don't know if it's not like all their money that's coming in is from donors and lined out for certain things. I think, you know, my guess, my personal opinion is they probably could do it if they want to do it. But it still doesn't look good regardless to say, hey, taxpayers, we'd like $20 million, but our foundation won't, that has $400 million, almost $400 million, won't even put in one dime.
Well, I'm sure you guys will be all over this for the next few weeks. But when do we find out about Nappy winners? Is that coming up next week?
It is coming out next week, next Ooh. Wednesday. The wait is over.
All right.
And until then, you'll travel with your security guards.
I'm gonna have to travel incognito in that bright red car.
See, there you go again. You know what? I have my eyes on you, sir.
And if somebody wants to pick up a new copy of the Lanyap, Rob?
You can pick us up at about 1,400 locations, Mobile, Baldwin counties, and we are available. You can check us out online at lanyapmobile.com. You can also have them delivered to your home for $1 a week. And
right.
That saves you all the trouble of getting possibly run over by Kelly in that car.
You got to watch out when she's in the road. Thank you, Rob. We're coming back. More Mobile
Mama coming
mornings.
Through. Watch out.
Watch out on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you, Kane. 8:54 now on FM Talk 106.5. This segment of Mobile Mornings brought to you by LinkedIn. If you're a small business owner, well, you don't need me to tell you that the right hire can have a huge impact on your business, and the wrong hire can, of course, also have a huge impact on your business, just not the way you want it. That's why it's crucial you make sure your job post reaches the most qualified candidates. Could try posting on some of those other job boards, but if you do that, do you really know who's going to see your job posting? When you post your job on LinkedIn, it reaches 70% of the U.S. workforce, and unlike job boards, LinkedIn is a community that career-focused people visit every single day to grow professionally and explore job opportunities. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets candidates based on their skills, recommendations, even how open they are to new opportunities like yours, insights that are only available on the LinkedIn network. The result is that your post is matched to the best people for the job. It's probably why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. And right now you can go to LinkedIn.com/WAVH to get $50 off your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/WAVH for $50 off. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, you're closer than you think. 8:55 now on FM Talk 106.5. Reminder, big reminder here, the Summer Better Than Others contest, the big prize giveaway that we're doing this summer. Well, we're giving away the Granddaddy Prize next week. The big prize worth $5,500 in cash prizes there. Well, today you can register at the Cart Doctor from now through next Tuesday. That's the last place you can register before we do the big drawing. We'll have a qualifying winner from the Cart Doctor next week, and then put the five winners that we've had so far into a bowl, fish them out next Thursday, and then we'll have our big time winner. That grand prize includes a Reactor Valkyrie stainless steel men's watch, that's from Carrot Patch Jewelers, Adirondack chairs and table from Old Time Feed, some catered chicken fingers from Gold Fingers, Saraland and Dolphin Street Gold Fingers, an inshore fishing charter from Charlie Gray and Gray Gulf Charters, 2-week four-seat car rental from Cart Doctor, and a Liberty Fat Boy Junior Safe from Mike Ward's Liberty Safe. So you want to go in and register at Cart Doctor today.
And all that information on our website, so you can just ooh and ah.
That's right, on fmtalk1065.com. Now, Sean, he's headed down to the wharf to get on a boat, same place that our friend Kelly here will be in the next couple days. When are you heading down there, Kelly?
We are on air Friday and Saturday. Okay. So we're live streaming Friday evening. Saturday is the biggie. This is, of course, the Super Bowl of sports fishing, and that's when we weigh the big boys, the Blue Marlin Grand Championship. A lot of newbies are happening this year. I'm not allowed to say what we're doing new, but you have to tune in or come join us. It's free for the family. It's so much fun. There's the fighting chair. It will be there as well. So what happens is you get to raise money for St. Jude.
Awesome.
And we give back to the community with a special program when it comes to, because people wonder, well, what the heck happens to the Blue Marlin? What do you do? It feeds hundreds of people. So we'll talk more about that, but we hope people tune in, come down and see us and take some pictures.
And I have to ask, I think Maximus no longer a part of the Finley family. What are you driving down there this weekend?
Well, you know what? I turned Maximus in yesterday. That's the vehicle I aptly named because of the trunk space that he had. So I'm on the other end of the spectrum. I'm not sure if many of our listeners know, but when it comes to Mazda, they have three levels when it comes to the type of vehicle that you want to get based on, you know, your financial situation. So you've got the Sport, the Touring, or the Grand Touring. So I've gone from a hatchback into the CX-9. Now, I have been behind the wheel of the CX-9 before, but that was the Grand Touring. Now I'm in the Touring. And so what I'll do over the next 2 weeks or so, I'll tell you more about this vehicle. This vehicle, though, Dalton, seats 7.
Wow.
Do you hear me? 7.
You can put some of those fish they're going to catch this weekend in there.
Hey now. But yeah, this is perfect for the Fab Five plus a couple of their friends. So I'll tell you all about, you know, the bells and whistles inside, but I can tell you last night, a couple of them that jumped out at me, of course, I had all my mama purses and bags. And I'm like, oh my goodness, where is my key? And it's so dark out here. But I remembered that if you have your key on your person, you can touch the button on either the driver or passenger side, and you can enter your vehicle.
Oh, very cool.
Oh, it's so nice. And then once you start driving, the lights automatically come on. So there's no need looking for, okay, what does this dashboard look like and where are the lights and all that stuff. The car takes care of you. So for more information, go visit the all-new Dean McCrary Mazda dealership on the East Service Road of I-65. And we will be live there tomorrow for Midday Mobile. You can check out the newest vehicle, maybe help name him.
That sounds like a good time.
It will not be Roberto.
Not your name, Roberto. That does it for Mobile Mornings. We'll be back tomorrow morning. Make sure you check out Sean and Midday Mobile today at noon, live from a very big yacht, the Pace Yacht.
92-foot Galati.
Wow.